Believe it or not. Believe in free will. There is no other choice. Believe in free will. There is just no other choice. This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing. Have you thought about that? Believe in free will. Well, the world has been telling us that we don't have free will. We have to follow the rules of the country we're in, the rules of the city we're in, the rules of the family we're in, and the rules of the body that we're in. For a boy, we act one way. For a girl, we act another way. We have no freedom of choice. We have to act whatever it is that we've been given. Or do we? Where does freedom of choice come in? Where does free will come in? Free will comes in the manner in which we conduct ourselves. Free will is our attitude. We may not have free will once we have chosen to be on this planet Earth. We're here. We may not have free will as far as the body we're in. Some people try to change their sex and it becomes ludicrous, but it's their choice. We have free will, we think, in the family we have, in the country we have, the city we have. But do we really have free will there? As far as the physical experience goes, we create what we want. Now, Ingeborg created herself being born in Germany. And then she created her mother working in Italy. And so she went to Italy. And then she created herself back in Germany again. And then she created herself working for Japanese. And she created herself working for different offices. And then she created herself coming to America and becoming an American citizen. Now, who could know when Ingeborg was born that she was going to have the free will to do that? You would think that she was a German through and through, that she'd never leave the fatherland. She'd never go away from her homeland, because that is the most important thing in the world for her. But she had the freedom of choice to go as she wished. She didn't have the freedom of choice to be a man or a woman, because that's what she was. But she did have the freedom of choice to be an exquisite woman or an exquisite man, depending upon what we are. We have that freedom of choice. Well, now, free will should mean that we have freedom of choice in all areas. But think about it. What does free will mean? Free will translates into attitude. We have the free choice of our attitude. We don't have the free choice of whatever it is that we're experiencing. We have the free choice of whatever attitude we have about what we're experiencing. Now, some people don't like their country because it goes to war, and they don't like it because their country is against the Jews, and so they emigrate, they leave. Einstein left Germany because it was not salubrious for him to be there, being a Jew and being a scientist and so forth. So he left. He came to America. He was readily accepted, and he built himself a new home here by his freedom of choice, by his free will. He came to America with an attitude, and I think this is very important for us to consider. He came to America with an attitude. I didn't even start this thing. He came to America with an attitude, and that attitude was what? That attitude was that he was going to be a fantastic person. He was going to express himself in a fantastic way. He was going to be unlimited. He's going to let his mind soar. And he had already let his mind soar quite a bit, and this gave him quite a bit of notoriety, or fame, however you want to term it. And this fame put him into a lot of chairs that he really wasn't interested in. And one of the chairs was the United States going to war. He wasn't happy about that. And yet, he went along with it. He stayed in the United States even when they went to war. He could have left. He had the freedom of choice to come and go as he wished. We all have that freedom of choice. We have the freedom to remain in an attitude or experience or existence or not. Now, how could Einstein have changed his location without moving away? How could he have changed the circumstances of his condition without moving away? By his mental attitude. He could surround himself by his pure white light of love. He could see himself being surrounded by beautiful beings, beautiful circumstances. He could be totally free of this. Now, if war was an anathema to him, where could he have gone? Anyone want to offer a thought? Where could he have gone? He could have gone to Switzerland. He could have gone to Sweden. He could have gone to Norway. Norway and Denmark. Any one of the Scandinavian countries, basically. I think most of them are neutral. He could have gone to any one of these places. And that's just a hop and a skip from where he lived. And no problem at all. But he didn't do that. You see, he wasn't really against war. He wasn't really against violence of that nature. Because if he were, he would have put himself in a country that did not condone that. But he put himself in a country like the United States, where it has had wars, it has had internal strife, and it has had wars with England and wars with France and wars, you know, all over the place, and Spain. But he chose to go to America because he thought that America could use his talents to the best degree, and of course they could, and they did. But he had the freedom of choice to not be in a country that would go to war. You see, we have all these freedoms of choice, and we have the pre-knowledge of what's going to happen. A country like the United States could never be left out of a war that was devastating the whole world. It would have to be drawn in, because it was trying to be an isolationist country, but it was drawn in because of the act of the Japanese. And the Japanese wanted to bring them into the war because they wanted somebody to play with over on their side of the Pacific. Germany had England and those other countries on that side of the Atlantic, so Japan wanted some playmates over there. So they set up war games, and they bombed Pearl Harbor, and they did all these most interesting things, and we say, a day in infamy, you know. Well, it's true, it was not a very nice thing, but it's a game. It's a game. All of our life is a game. And when we start saying it's not a game, then we are giving up our privilege of being master of it. We're giving up our privilege of having freedom of choice, free will. What sort of game would you play if you were going to play a game of war? Well, I would like to play the game of war if a war were held and nobody came. There'd be nothing to fight. Rather than that even, I see all the world in harmony, all the world at peace. All the world respecting one another, all the world taking that which is its country and making it so wonderful, so fantastic, so glorious, so beautiful that the neighboring countries say, hey, can we move in with you? can we annex ourselves to you? You know, and the other country says, well, only if you'll keep on the high road like we are, only if you will do your very best to improve that area. And you see, this is what West Germany and East Germany did. after the war. East Germany could be reunited with West Germany, but West Germany didn't want to do that because that would be a very expensive proposition, for East Germany had been devastated to a high degree. But blood will run thicker than water, and so East Germans and West Germans united. And they're struggling, but they're getting along just fine. The East Germans are showing their genius, and the West Germans are showing their generousness. And both of them are getting along just beautifully. Now, that they created that. The East Germans didn't have to come to West Germany. The East Germans could have just continued being themselves. Now that they were free of another rule, they could have made their country into something far greater than West Germany ever dreamed about. If they had remained a separate country and had used their initiative to move. But the East Germans just said, you got to help us, you got to help us, you got to help us, our hand is out, you got to help us, instead of being their creative genius. Now, it's not against the East Germans. It is with most third world countries. They all say, you got to help us. But if every country were taught to help itself, to take its free will and move in a beneficial way for itself, it could be fantastic. We're speaking about Nigeria in our recent tour in Nigeria and Ghana. And we told the people in Nigeria that the only thing wrong with their country is their attitude. The country is fine. The politicians are fine. Everything is fine, except the people belittle their own country, as we in America and in Australia and other countries do too. We belittle it. We say our governmental officials are not doing a good job. We say that the taxes are too high. This is a problem. That's a problem. And so what comes when that happens? What happens when that comes? What happens is that the government goes to worse. The government lives up to the expectation of the people. And you too. You live up to your own expectations. You think that you're stupid, and you act stupid. You think you can't do something, and you can't do something. You think that there isn't any money, and there isn't any money. You think that you're not independently wealthy. You're not independently wealthy. You got the message? You got the message? You're not independently wealthy. Well, who says so? Me? I'm not your boss or your God. You. You say that about yourself. And when you say that about yourself, you know what you do? Muck, you cut it right off. Now, when you start saying, I'm independently wealthy, and start praising all of the little lovely gifts that come your way, you'll find that you're more independently wealthy than you ever knew. And you open up the doorways to that. Well, now let's just take another one. Do you have the freedom of will to choose your health? No, I had these bad genes and chromosomes that I came with, you know, and so I can't do anything about it. You sure can. I'm living in an area, an environment where asbestos was, and it gets in your lungs and it messes you up. You name it. Do you know, it is not a silly thing to say, I return to my original purity and integrity. That's not a silly thing to say. But be careful. Be careful, you silly people. When you say, I return to my original purity and integrity, that means your appendix is back. That means your, well, whatever, tonsils and other things you had taken out are back. That means your teeth are back. That means your youthful, dynamic mind is back. Your eyes are back. Everything is back. Everything is at its perfect state without having been touched in any way by anything. You see? When you return to your original purity and integrity, you return to your original purity and integrity, which means that you're all back together again. All the surgeries that have been done on you over the years have been washed away. And you're back to your perfect form. Not bad, huh? You're back to your perfect form, your ideal beingness. Wow. But you see, you don't like to play that game. You think No, that can't be. You don't think that this is a big show that's going on. When you return to your original purity and integrity, you also don't remember that you ever had any difference about you. You don't remember that you ever had appendix that was not acting right. You don't remember you had tonsils that weren't acting right. You don't remember any of your problems. They just are no longer yours. You see, when you return to your original purity and integrity, by your choice, by your freedom of choice, your free will, then everything, all the games you played in between your return to your original purity and integrity and coming back to it again, everything that you played is gone, lost, forgotten. Well, you say, I'm going to be a little child again, or I'm going to be stupid again. I'm not going to have all the wisdom. Hey, nobody said that. Nobody said that. You went through the years and you revealed knowledge within you. And that knowledge is still within you, even though you've forgotten it again. But revealing it the second time is going to be much easier. Because you see, the second time you're going to say, I know that I know that I know, and it's all yours. You're not going to be thinking of it in any other light. Do you understand? No other light. And so you're in this perfection, you're in this magnificent state of consciousness, and it's exciting. It's something really great, something that you really want to participate in. But you have to make up your mind. Do you want to be maudlin? Do you want to feel sorry for yourself? Do you want to have these attitudes go on in your life that are manipulating and controlling you? Or do you want to control yourself, control your attitudes, control your life? The choice is simply yours. What do you want? Well, I don't like to do this, but it's just the way it is. Look at yourself and look at the world around you. Look at everybody else. Look at conditions and circumstances. If you see them needing repair, needing change, you got a problem. If you see them absolutely perfect right now, then you are seeing them through your divine eyes. And practice looking through your divine eyes. As I practice looking through my divine eyes, I see such beauty. As I tell you, I'm really practicing that. I'm working on it. I look at each one of you, and I laugh. Because I see your original purity and integrity. You know, I see the original purity and integrity of you. And I see you not seeing it. I see you putting on that clown suit, which is not your original purity and integrity, and you're running around in it and saying, ha ha, look at me, I'm a clown. You know, I'm not my original purity and integrity. I'm this expression of things that have happened to me over the years and so forth. Hey, have at it. Enjoy. Play any drama you wish, but your original purity and integrity is always there. It's always there. And when you take off these garments that hide it, you take off the garment of hate, you take off the garment of misunderstanding, you take off the garment of confusion, of judgment, oh my goodness, you take off the garment of possession, you take off the garment of all these things that would limit you, and look with your one-pointed eyes at your unconditional self, your unconditional loving self. My, you like it very much. I know I do. I look at each one of you. In fact, I look at so many people, and I see each one for what they really are. I see them in their original purity and integrity, and they're wonderful. They are super califragilistic. Expialidocious. That's my creation. Now, do you want to play my game with me, or do you want to play your game with you? You want to play the game of illusion, or you want to play the game of original purity and integrity? Well, I would think original purity and integrity would be a super way to do it. So, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Believe in free will. there is no other choice. We are always making our free will decision as to what we're going to do with our life. Now, let's believe in it and put it to work for ourselves so it can accomplish some very wonderful things. I love you.